Welcome to Elements of Community, a podcast about discovering and exploring the elements of community. I am Lucas Root, and each week we talk with a community leader about what makes their community thrive and bring value to both the leaders and the members. Join me as we unpack the magic of the elements of community. Another episode of EUC. We have an amazing guest today, one that I'm actually really excited to have this conversation with. Jackie, would you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thank you so much, too, Lucas, for actually having me come on your podcast. I'm very excited about this and to share, you know, my community projects with you. So my name is Jackie Napola, and I am, I guess you would call me and categorize me as a serial entrepreneur. But started in the corporate world and had myself a very successful business. It was a beauty academy. And, you know, I had no previous experience either as a beautician or a hairstylist or anything. I was always loved the industry and I was so passionate about education. And that's kind of where I started my journey, what building a community actually is. And that's kind of...
Okay, hold on. I mean, we can't not talk about community, obviously, but what you're telling me is that you had no reason to go into the beauty world except that you just loved it, and you did, and that's it.
Yeah, I honestly, it is funny because my friends always would tease me like, yeah, you should have always, you know, have gone to beauty school when we were, you know, back then, but that just kind of wasn't a thing. You know, everybody went to college, but my husband and I, my husband's an attorney, and we would just both really, really passionate about education. And we saw this awesome opportunity to take over a very struggling beauty academy. And that's what we did. And I never stepped foot into a beauty school until they gave me the keys to my own beauty school. I'm like, okay, here's your beauty school. I was like, oh, okay.
This is really happening now.
Yeah, this is happening. You know, and I'm also sure we had hired, you know, this director for 20 something years, but who had all this experience, 2 months in, she's like, I can't work anymore because you're running circles around me and I can't continue doing the job. I'm like, okay. So that day I became the actual owner and director of my school. And I had my 15-year-old, who's now 15, on my hip when she was a baby. So I then became this director and I fell like in love with it. Like when you want to talk about what your passion and your purpose is, I could really understand when people would say that to me now, because I never really understood it, you know, until that time came when I had that. And, you know, now fast forward, we're about 15 years plus experience in the industry. And I was fortunate to actually sell my beauty academy. And I am actually, yay! It was a bittersweet. There's so much I really actually didn't like about it, was all the government stuff that I had to deal with. But what I loved so much was dealing with my students and my team. That was everything to me and more. So I actually took my experience as a life advisor for those 15 years. Now took that experience and my passion of the beauty school industry, and I am now have created what's called Next Gen Boss, and Boss, B-O-S, is build oneself. And now I strictly stay in my lane of beauty school world, and I get the best of both worlds. I'm creating my community, but I don't have the responsibility of the school. So woof, I don't have to deal with accreditation and financial aid anymore. I just get to play with students all day. Like, it's the best job I could ever imagine. So taking again passion and purpose and knowing exactly what that means, I was able to do it again, basically.
That's amazing. So sort of to recap, you launched into a beauty school with no experience and no reason to assume that you were going to succeed except for your passion and skills that you had so far, which is awesome. That's super bold. That's amazing. You did it for a while. You built something that was awesome enough that it was worth selling. right? It was worth something to someone else. Somebody bought it from you. They didn't just take it over. Like, you sold. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
All by itself, you know, even if you had experience and had a reason to be able to say, this is going to succeed, still building something that's worth selling is a huge, like, that's a huge achievement. That's amazing. And then, so you got out of that, you took a little time off, you cleared your head, you opened yourself up to thought. You're like, all right, well, what about that was amazing? What can't I live without? And what I'm hearing is, the beauty industry, right? You fell so in love with it that you just had to stay. You had to stay in it. Interaction with people and building a community and you know, supporting and growing personally with that community. That's what I heard.
100%. It was actually what I realized most when I sold my school. I did start another business. It was a hair product line, and it was me. It was just me. And I was very lonely. I was like looking around for like, wait a minute. I used to have two assistant directors. I had all these teachers. I had, you know, students during the day, clients and a team, and the same thing at night. So I was surrounded by people that I loved being around, that was like-minded. And then I was working by myself, and I hated every ounce of it, honestly. Like, I literally developed this whole
kind of cool.
Picked my head up and go, I'm lonely. What do I do now? And then
COVID, yeah.
And then I couldn't go into schools anymore and speak. So, you know, so I created more community. Again, I'm a very community-driven person, and that's kind of what
I hear that.
Yeah,
you tried out solopreneur in an industry you know, right? You'd succeeded. You sold a business. Like, you know that industry. You were a solopreneur. It wasn't for you.
Yeah, it was not. I did not like it. So, you know, now, again, I said, I'm fortunate now that we're able to go back into the beauty schools. And you know what? It's for me. It's my comfort zone. And when you know, when you find that zone, you wake up. And I'm always happy because I'm happy doing what I'm doing. And that's the best part for me. And I always say this, if I'm not helping somebody, if my job is not involved with other people that I can, what I call MIM, and this is a program that I started, and it's MIM is M-I-M, it's mentor, inspire, and motivate. And that's what I bring in to the schools. I bring all my life advising experience, my experience of being a school owner, and I've done it all in the school. So now I get to stay in my lane and I get to do what I love to do and help people at the same time. So I'm like, win-win. And no stress about owning a school. You know, so
yeah.
I get to come in and leave, you know, and still interact with the students. They, you know, they message me all the time. So it's pretty cool. It's ideal.
It's like you graduated from being a mother to being a grandmother.
To being what? You would cut up for a second.
A grandmother.
Oh, no, I don't want to say that, but yes.
Right? I mean, you had your little family that you were growing, and you were like, you know, now you come in, you get to do big, awesome things, and then you go away again. And then you come back later, you do big, awesome things, and you go away again.
It is kind of like a grandmother, right? When my kids were little, I'd be like, pass them off, my mom, and my dad. Okay, here you go. Here's it. Just took a poop. So here you go. Exactly.
That's amazing. I love it. Wow.
Me too.
You know, let's get to talking about the community you're building now, but how did community make your previous successful beauty school? How did community make that a success?
Well, you know, this is my opinion on it actually too, is in order to build a community, you have to have first a foundation. And the foundation is your culture, what's in your company. And when we took over this struggling beauty school, it was chaos. I mean, I'm talking straight up chaos. I was like, something's not right. You know, I'm a very energy driven person. So if someone walks in our building and they're a pissed off mood and they're angry at this, I'm like, sense it all the way. Someone walks in happy, I'm like, yeah, like it makes your day, you know? So I had to figure out, I was like, where are we going to balance this? So I realized when I, you know, there was this word culture, like it wasn't really big back then. Now it's a big word. you know. So back 15 years ago, you know, culture was not something really that you could find easily or what it's about. And I picked up my first book, really was on that, was Pat Riley, The Winner Within. And I realized that, wait a minute, if he could control a whole team, you know, of these basketball players, like, I can do that here at my school. This, we're a group of, you know, these are beauty, going to be a beauty professionals, or like-minded individuals. So that's what it was. And I realized we talked the same language. We all spoke like, we were like, wait a minute. And so I created this culture first. And I did the core values, and I did this with my team, which then we go and we work with the students at the same time. So they know now, they could see us working together as a team. Then we work with them. And it just kind of, that was our underlying foundation. And then the community just grew from there, because these people started seeing each other in a different way. Instead of competing with one another, because a lot of times, unfortunately, in that industry, they feel they have to compete with each other. You know, well, and but that, I'm like, but you're at school. That's not what we do here. Competing is great because, yes, you can encourage each other, whatever, but it shouldn't be a battle where you're judging or being mean or however it is that communication line is, the language. So my community was built upon that. Was first the foundation of the culture, the core values, and then we just continued, you know, growing together using those core values and speaking that language, which really was, it was like how you explain, I love how you explain that, the language part of it, because it's true. Like, really, when I really think about it, it was the language that we all spoke that was so common. We had all this commonality between us, you know.
I love it. Well, there's the beauty industry language, but you added a new layer on top of that. You made a sub language that was even more unique and more focused, right?
Yes, exactly. It was that we took, you know, I looked kind of around what other schools were doing, and I would listen, you know. I used to be a huge, still am, Gary Vee fan, and he always would say, "Watch me," you know, "Watch." Watch and listen. And that's all I did. So I really became a really good listener. And I had a nickname that used to call me Hawk because I would literally, I could hear everything through the walls. Like, I know everything that's going on, because if I didn't know it, someone else would come and tell me, you know? So it was really watching and learning how they interact. Like, I was really intrigued by it because I really felt like I found my home. I found my purpose. I found my passion. So I used to work 14-hour days, and I loved every minute of it. And it was because I felt, again, that I was around the people that inspired me. They mimed me every day, my students and my team, every day. You know, they motivated me, they inspired me, and they even mentored me. And some of these students, I even knew that. Some, you know, I would literally have to say, like, "You helped me." And they're like, "Huh?" You know, they couldn't understand, because they always thought I was helping them. But deep down, they
really, I love it.
Yeah. They really helped me be a little bit more authentic and vulnerable, because they were vulnerable. So that they were vulnerable, I was like, well, I need to show them that I'm going to be that way for them, because they obviously felt that they could speak to me in this way. Well, I'm going to reciprocate and give it back. So they would tell me stuff, and I would tell them personal stuff. So we just had this way of speaking. And it's just, when I speak in a group of all these beauty schools and I go in there, I'm comfortable. I go into businesses and speak, I'm kind of a little on it. I'm a little edgy, because it's not my people. It's not my language.
Yeah.
You know, and
I love it.
Started discovering that part of it.
So one of the elements of community is common value, and it sounds to me like your community's common value included MIM, right? Yes. Motivate, inspire, mentor. Yep. And it was common. It wasn't something that you provided. It was something that the community provided, and everyone, including you, benefited from.
Well, you know, what's really funny is I actually created the MIM Society. So we thought, because we had our core values for our team, we needed a separate core values just for the students so they could feel like they were building something, they were included in something, and to remind them on the daily that we're MIMing. And I used to even make them sign a contract. Like, this is your MIM contract, and we are non-judgmental, we are supportive, and we're fun. I made it very simple, 3 core values. Boom. Mm. And we had this big blackboard when you walked in that was framed really pretty when you walked into the Beauty Academy, and on there said, the MIM Society. Just to remind them on the daily, like, this is who we are with each other. You know, mm-hmm. And we would have graduates that would come back and want to, what we call MIMing. They come in and they would MIM the other current students, and they would teach them things that they're learning on the outside. So then we would give them like a MIM diploma, you know, thank you for coming in and everything. So we turn it into a whole subculture from our culture as a company. So we gave their own student culture and core values for them to feel. You know, when you go to college, I used to say, you know, go to college, they have fraternities and sororities.
Right.
Right? So that was my philosophy, because I was like, well, these, you know, they're going to beauty school. And a lot of their parents hated the fact that they weren't going straight to college or whatever. So I was like, you know what? I know. Let's start like a society, like, you know, like a secret society. It's just here for them to make them feel like they had something together.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little community.
Wow.
A community within a community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard another sort of nugget in there that I think is beautiful and I want to pull out. One of the things that I try to understand through this podcast and share and help people learn, you know, the listeners, the audience, is what makes an effective community leader. And you shared a little bit of how you became an effective community leader, at least a little bit. So let's talk about it, but let me also share what I heard. So what I heard was, you are a student of your own community, right? You're the hawk. You're listening to absolutely everything, not to be a hall monitor.
Never.
But to be the most effective member leader, right? Not leader of members, but member leader. You're in the community. You're part of the community. You're getting MIM'd. They're motivating, inspiring, and mentoring you. You were listening and watching absolutely everything so that you could be a student of that community as the leader. Be a student of the community as the leader. I love it. I'm amazed by it.
Yeah.
What else makes an effective community leader?
You know, it's funny because I wasn't the best when I first started. And I am a New Yorker, Italian New Yorker, and I used to have a very short fuse. And I remember sitting there one day, and I had a student who was pissed off about something, and I had a teacher there with me, and the student was going on, and I'm listening to her. Just bash and bash and bash me as in front of my face. My instructor sitting next to me literally leans over and says, I could feel the heat coming off your body. Because I was in the red. All I saw was
you're fuming.
Red. Yes.
Yeah.
Right then and there, I realized I need to fix something. Something wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's knowing, being very self-aware also is a very important factor, I believe, in leadership, 100%. And if you got to be able to take constructive criticism as well. So I was very clear also with my team. My job was to make them a shining star. Their job was to make me a shining star. So back and forth. And I was a very firm believer in everybody needs someone to talk to. That is like one of my taglines for my life coaching business because of my school. I had students lining outside my office door where they would joke and say, I need a ticket taker, like at the deli, because there would be people like, we were shooing them back to class because they needed to come in and talk. They wanted to talk. So I made it where I was available for my team to talk, I was available for my students, and my team made themselves available because I did. They followed me. You know, because I allowed it. I wanted it. That's how I wanted it. I wanted us to work as a team. And if you ever go, I learned this from one of my mentors, that you'll know when you're doing it something right, which is when you walk into your business and everybody keeps doing what they're doing. No one just turned around and goes, oh shit, here comes the boss. Let's hurry up and make pretend we're working, or make pretend this, or, oh, hi, Jackie. Hi. No. Like, hell no. When I walked in the building, that music better have been pumping. People could have been, I don't care if you're talking. I would love to see you dancing in the middle of the hallway. Like, that was our culture. Mm-hmm. That was who we were.
Yeah. And
if I was like that, then they felt like, oh, wait, I can be comfortable. Yes. Comfortable, making people feel comfortable was another thing. And also as a leader, like I know how to hire the right people to put them in the right positions. I don't know how to do financial aid like a genius does. Yeah, I know how to do it because I always did a little piece of every job responsibility in my job. I did. So I could know and understand what maybe the director of first impressions was thinking. That's my front desk. So I taught classes, I did financial aid, I did this, I did everything in the building. So I know how to relate and talk to people. You know, you hire your weakness. I know my strengths. I hire on my weaknesses. That's it. That's the end. That was it. That's how you do it. Hire on your weaknesses and know your strengths. And I was fortunate to have the best team.
Awesome. Okay. So build and support an amazing company culture or community culture in this case, right? Share in the community value, right? So as a leader, it's not for everyone else. It's for everyone. It's not for everyone else. It's for everyone, right? You're getting the miming, You're giving it and you're getting it. I also heard that you participate in every project, right? Because in community there are projects, and in a corporate community or in a school community where the community involves professional outputs, and theoretically it's a for-profit scenario, because communities can and perhaps sometimes are for-profit. It sounds to me like the jobs that need to be done in order for the profit to be generated, it sounds like those are projects and you're participating in every one, even if it's only a little bit, right? You're participating in financial aid, you're participating in curriculum writing, you're participating in, you know, some of the instruction work. It sounds like those are aspects of being an effective community leader and part of what you think made you awesome. And I tend to agree.
Thanks. I you know, it was really because I learned to hire the right people after a while. You know, in the beginning it was tough because I didn't have a name. No one knew who we were. No one had any idea. And here I was like, I'm the boutique academy. They're like, what the hell is that? Well, I have 12 students in my class. How many do you have? 25, 30 is what they had. I'm like, I'm not doing that. So I think, I was able to bring on people that experience a different way in the beauty school industry. And I wasn't doing it that way. I always would say to my team, let everybody go this way to the left because the right is right for us. Because we're not going to follow them. We're going to do our own stuff. We're going to create our own community. We're going to create our own culture. We don't have to do what they're doing. And I was just very involved. And I got the best, I always remember this, I got the best compliment from an instructor of mine who had literally 20 something years experience over me in the beauty school industry. And she said to me, when I had to tell them that I was leaving and selling my school, she said, you know, I'll be forever grateful for you because you were the only director and owner that I ever worked for that understands both sides. She said, you understand the business side, but you also understand the art creative side, because I myself am that person too. I'm a split. I can split it. I'm on the business side, which I love. I could live and breathe. But remember, I only like to talk what I like to my strengths. This, I could talk with you all day long. Talk about finance, accounting, and analytical statistics and this. I'm like, oh, I can't. I wouldn't even join the conversation. I'll just keep my mouth shut. Firm belief, I don't say anything unless I know what I'm talking about or experienced it. You know what I mean? So I just, like, again, I just was just in my place of being. I was in it. And literally, it was in it to win it. I was like, there is no word for failure here because I love it so much. And, I love it. Like, really did. I always would say the good outweighed the bad. And boy, oh boy, you should do a show and just on the bad stuff that happens. And we can get back on there. And that will be like like the stuff that can go on. But if you're a business owner, you know that's part of it.
I actually had a listener write in that they wanted to hear a show about the bad stuff in community. And I was thinking about it.
If I
find the right community leader, maybe I'll do that.
Oh yeah. Especially in a beauty school. Boy, there's drama every single day. Every day. I won't say it every day. We got lucky. And I used to, again, it's just leadership. You know, so there's only so much shit I would take. You know, so you have to learn that.
Right. So you have an extraordinary track record. You've built an amazing community. How are you taking what you've learned and sort of retooling that into the new community that you're building now? And what are the sort of lessons that are driving that to be successful?
Well, I it's experience also. Sure. I'm a firm believer too on, I believe your life lessons really is what helps you in your career, versus going to college. And like, I have a degree in business, and like, the one thing I remember literally is my professor saying location, 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 and made us read like this book from Lee Iota. Is that it? No. Is it Lee? I always forget his name. He was the guy with the cars. I can't remember his name now.
Lee Iacocca, the president of Chrysler in the 80s and 90s.
Correct. Yes. Yes. That is a book I remember reading. That was it. That was it. How much money did that cost me? You know what I mean? So for me, it's experience. So I was very, very, again, I was in a position that I found that I loved. And, you know, but there was a time to get out because certain, again, this goes on your show. This has got to go on the other show. And I'm going to even put it out there. But a really horrible situation happened. It devastated me. It rocked me to the core. And you want to talk about, I'm a very strong-minded person, and this took me down. So when one person affected another person in my building, that was it. I was done. And it was a very difficult time, but it got back up. But again, for me, it's the community part. So now all of that experience that I have, I bring it to the forefront now. And again, I'm so lucky that I get to have both of the things I just love so much. And I could be in the beauty industry and I could be with these students. And I tell them, I literally tell them, every time I go in there, I say, I'm going to talk to you like I talk to my students. And this is what I'm going to do. Because again, it's experience. So I'm fortunate to have that. But I also trained myself too. I read tons of books on culture. Tons. Because that is what I knew I needed. And that is what I know I just loved.
Yeah.
To really focus on and build.
So you weren't just a student of your community. You were a student of culture in general.
Huge.
Part of the inspiration that your community brought to you was to be inspired to become more knowledgeable and better at building and supporting culture.
Correct.
Not just community, but culture.
Right, because I also had an audience. I had an audience all the time. So I had to make sure I knew what I was talking about and like, what am I doing over here? Like, what is she doing? Like, why is she doing this now? Or you know what I mean? It was like, well, it's all for you guys. You know, it's all community driven. It's all culture based, you know? And whatever I could bring to them, I'm going to try my damnedest to bring to them. So to bring what I already started was so easy. It was the starting point that was the most difficult. You know, now I just feel like I have a blueprint, you know, and I have the blueprint already, so I could just tweak it as I go along if I want to.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you, Jackie. This has been a fantastic conversation. I've enjoyed it. I have a curveball for you, a zinger.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I don't really do good with on-the-spot stuff. But okay, but try.
No, no, you're going to like this one. If there was a question that I should have asked you but didn't, what would it be?
Ooh. See, I don't do good with that kind of stuff. What would be the question? Oh, my gosh. If there was a question what was the question? You would ask me a question.
What should I have asked you but didn't? What should I have asked you? What question do you want to have been asked?
I don't know. I don't know. I think I answered why I do what I do. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like I've answered. Did I answer that though, I think?
I feel like you answered it because you love the industry and you love the community.
How about what is, I got a question. I got it for you. Ask yes. me what do I do for fun?
There you go. That's right. Jackie, what do you do for fun?
I love going to concerts outside, outdoor concerts, because it's community. Ooh. It's community. I even do community in my personal life. And I started that when I lived where you are in San Diego. When I was younger, in my 20s, I was a big time club promoter and raver. Mm-hmm. And if you read Tony Hsieh's book, Delivering Happiness, he was one who owned Zappos, who was killed in a fire. He talks about community is a lot like raving. It's unity is what it is. Mm-hmm. So me, I, even on my outside of business, I do this personally. My friends that I hang out with, and we go together to Mexico every year, 20 of us, to a music festival for 5 days. I call it white people reggae. It's like reggae on the beach, but it's all the bands from California. and it's a community. It is all like-minded language, same language. And I do that actually for me with my husband, who I've been with 28 years. So I am, when I'm in community, I am like living, breathing community in personal and business. It's just who I am.
I love it. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Jackie.
Oh, okay. That was a good question. I got it.
Amazing. As we wrap up, where can our listeners find you?
Oh, so I'm on Instagram at Jackie Napola, and it's N-E, not A, E like elephant, P like Peter, O-L-A. On Instagram, on Facebook, and we're starting, you'll start seeing eventually Next Gen Boss will be up there, and it's N-E-X-G-E-N Boss. So we're just starting that Instagram too.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm excited to see what you do with it.
Thank you. Me too. I'm really excited.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you for joining us this week on Elements of Community. Make sure to visit our website, elementsofcommunity.us, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or via RSS so you'll never miss a show. If you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. If you like the show, you might want to check out our EOC Inner Circle, where we deep dive with each guest on the inner workings of their community. We cover things like community model, profitability, and engagement strategies. You can join the Inner Circle at elementsofcommunity.us/innercircle. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode.